A whole heap of players go down on the ice. Carlson lost his helmet. Avs can't collect. It's kept at the point by Kale McCarr. Wide open. Score! Oh, Captain! My Captain! Do you know the way to San Jose? Because that's where Game 7 will be coming up on Wednesday night.
Ah, oh, I love that call. I love that call. If that was Denny Matthews, that would have been one of the most boring calls of all time. And I'm not, I don't, it's not like I don't like Denny Matthews. It's just that it's probably time for him to hang it up. But Landeskog, my 9-year-old, soon to be 10-year-old, it loves hockey, absolutely loves hockey. And we got him a little tiny jersey that he still wears, and it has Landeskog on the back. That's the guy. And he's the guy that hit the game winner last night. Scored the game winner for the Avs. Sharks were a heavy favorite going into the series. The Avs, of course, had to knock off a one seed in the first round, and now the Avs are one win away from moving on to the conference finals. Nobody saw that coming, as they win last night 4-3 in overtime over the Sharks to force a deciding Game 7. Nothing better in sports than a Game 7. And I love the call about going back to San Jose. I mean, that's just perfect, playing off the song and everything else. And talking about the captain, which is Landeskog. And that was well played. Well done by the play-by-play announcer of the Avs. A game like that deserves high energy, a lot of enthusiasm and excitement, and that's what you heard there. So the Avs force Game 7 in the NHL playoffs, and the Bruins beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-0 last night, so the Bruins move on to the conference finals as they win that series 4-2. More hockey on the way tonight, and oh, yeah, Game 7. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but when I remember the hockey's on, especially Game 7, I'll watch. Maybe not the whole game, but I'll watch, especially if it gets in overtime, I will watch because it is so, so exciting. I love to be there for a Game 7 of any hockey series, even if I don't have a dog in the fight. I've been to NHL a couple of games in the past, and it's just a ton of fun. It's more fun than NBA games, and I know NBA much better than I know hockey. The Stars and the Blues tonight, Game 7 in St. Louis. Winner take all Game 7 to keep the season alive. And then Game 7, the Avs and the Sharks coming up on Wednesday tomorrow night, and that'll be in San Jose at 8 o'clock. Local sports, Dusty, I don't know if you heard, but the junior high track meet, the NCAA league track meet over in Beloit has been postponed. Looking for a makeup date. Also, the Beloit baseball team against Sacred Heart, that game or games have been canceled. No makeup. And Beloit Sacred Heart softball, they are looking for a makeup date. Those games have been postponed for today.
All right. So the only thing I haven't heard anything on is the Tipton Golf Invitational, which is supposed to take place today as well. And that
I'm guessing you might not have that one since they had almost 4 inches of rain around.
Probably not. So that's the only only ones that haven't gotten a hold of me. But I'm going to guess that probably won't be on if that's how much rain they got. It might be hard to golf in that in the sand greens. So. So that would make everything postponed or canceled today. Yesterday, I'd already said that NCAA League Golf was already postponed yesterday there at Russell. And then the Tescott Invitational Track and Field Meet for today has been canceled as well. So, that's kind of putting a damper literally on sports today in the area. There was one event yesterday in our immediate area, the Phillipsburg Golf Invitational, as Phillipsburg took first place as a team. Osborne was second, 325 to Phillipsburg's 314. Steele Walters of Osborne finished in fifth place. Aaron Moss of Smith Center was 10th place. As far as top 10 individuals were concerned, Parker Crowe of Plainville won the individual gold. And the full results for the Phillipsburg Mel Schrimmer Invitational can be found at ncksports.com.
All right. So we start with hockey, and now we're going to go to horse racing. This is a weird show. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission denied an appeal by the owner of Maximum Security over the result of the Kentucky Derby, ruling Monday that the steward's decision to overturn the result was not subject to appeal. That's Gary West's only recourse now appears to be through the legal system. As a result, Maximum Security says the owner of the horse says, I'm not going to run the Preakness. There's no chance for a Triple Crown. We're not doing it. Won't be at the Preakness. So it's kind of their own protest. Maximum Security, if you don't know, was the horse that won the Kentucky Derby and then didn't. And Country House ended up winning the Derby, even though it finished second. So I've heard here the last couple of days how this is bad for horse racing. Can you explain to me how it's bad? Bad is it? It's controversy. Nobody talks about horse racing unless somebody's going for the Triple Crown. Nationally, the Kentucky Derby, we talk about it. Then the Preakness, the Belmont, the Preakness and Belmont don't have a lot of oomph to it unless there's a horse has a chance for the Triple Crown, which, of course, the Preakness would because whoever wins the first one in Kentucky Derby. But the Belmont, there's not nearly as much pizzazz if there isn't a horse going for the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So to me, this is the best thing possible for horse racing. Sometimes controversy is good for your sport. And to me, there's no doubt that this is actually, in the long run, good because we're talking about it. Other people are still talking about the Kentucky Derby. I'm not saying you want controversy every single race all the time, but every once in a blue moon, it's okay. And it has people talking about horse racing, and that's not a bad thing for the sport.
No, and that's what I was saying yesterday when we were talking about it. It's like there's so many people that are like, this is so bad for horse racing. No, yeah, disagree.
I do too.
The only thing that's bad is if you felt like Maximum Security could have won the Triple Crown. You know,
or you think the horse was actually robbed, which if you watch the race, it was interference.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no question
there's
that
no
was
question
a foul.
About it. Yeah.
But then it's like, well, the horse has a mind of its own. Well, you know, that's how the rules have been for years. Apply
yeah.
the rules that should apply to any race. And to me, it was applied the right way. I still don't know how a jockey can control a horse when trying to avoid a puddle. I don't know how the jockey
yeah.
can really do that.
Yeah,
maybe they can, maybe they can't. But, you know, you got animals, you got people that don't even do what you tell them to do, for crying out loud. So
oh, yeah.
how are you going to get a horse to do exactly what you want? And it's interference. By the letter of the law, that was a foul. And that should have been called, and it was. It just took 22 minutes to figure it out, which I didn't even know they had replay in horse racing. So, see, I learned something new there, which is the worst replay system in all of sports, bar none,
yeah.
22-minute review. But that gave people more time to go buy $2,500 mint juleps.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's great. That's probably what they did that for. But to me, I agree with you. I think it's good for horse racing for people to be talking about it and actually like, oh, hey, they have a replay, and oh, they can strip the winner if they – I didn't know there were rules. I didn't know there were fouls. I didn't know there's such a thing as interference. Some people might not know any of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't know any of it until yesterday, or mm-hmm. Sunday, I should say. Yeah, it's none of it's like terribly, terribly bad for the sport.
I don't think so either, unless it just happens on a more regular basis.
Yeah,
now,
I mean, you
Maximum
don't want
Security
to happen
was,
at every major, you know, every Triple Crown race. You don't want that to happen.
Listen, if it was a complete baloney call and Maximum Security was robbed of the win, that maybe wouldn't be good for the sport, although it'd still be controversial, so it still wouldn't be bad. But the horse didn't get robbed, per se. I mean, to me, it was a foul in the letter of the rule, and regular races, we're going to call it, but the Kentucky Derby, oh, their rules don't apply. It's kind of the same thing in the NBA, college basketball. Well, you know, we swallow the whistle the final 60 seconds of the game. Well, if it's a foul in the first quarter, it should be a foul in the final quarter.
Yes.
Last I checked, but hey, whatever. Didn't know there was different rule for the final 60 seconds for officiating in sports, but apparently there is an unwritten rule. All right, lots of unwritten rules in baseball, and one of the written rules is that when your pitching isn't very good, you usually lose. That's kind of a rule. I mean, that's an unwritten rule, isn't it? I think about it. I don't look it up. I won't probably say that exactly. But the Royals keep hitting home runs. That's the fun part. The Royals I'll be honest. The Royals are the funnest 12-24 team I think I've ever seen. They are fun to watch because here's the thing. They hit home runs. They steal bases. And then the bullpen comes in usually and creates a fire. And who doesn't like just a nice, warm fire, you know, during a cold day? You like fireworks? Sometimes the bullpen provides that. The Royals have offensive fireworks, and Alberto Mondesi is absolutely on fire this year. Not necessarily on fire. Dozier's on fire, but Mondesi's having a great year at the age of 23.
Mondesi blasts it into deep center field, and the Royals take the lead. Number five for Mondesi, and the Royals have two-run home runs in the last two innings. It is 4-3 KC in the fifth inning.
So that gave the Royals a lead 4-3, and before that, Hunter Dozier hit his ninth homer of the year.
And now Dozier hits it to the Crawford boxes and gone, and it's 3-2.
Dozier's hitting 348. Mondesi's among the league leaders in RBIs. Dozier is as well. Dozier among the league leaders in homers. Leads the league in batting average. It's all awesome and fun. The problem is it doesn't translate into wins. Royals lose to the Astros yesterday 6-4. They were down early, 3-0, took a 4-3 lead, as we heard with Mondesi's two-run homer. But then the Royals put it together to get the lead, but then They couldn't hold it. And Jacob Junis, who rarely gets through six innings. Have you noticed that?
I have.
Here's Ned Yost on Jacob Junis.
I thought he did a great job of limiting the damage. Right? I think he felt like he had his best stuff. But he, I mean, that game could have been cracked open three or four times. But he did a great job of limiting the damage and making pitches when he needed to.
So the Royals lose to the Astros yesterday 6-4. Astros, one of the best teams in the American League. The Royals can't hang on to a 4-3 lead with the Astros scoring two in the bottom of the sixth. Junis takes the loss. He's now 3-3 on the season. And Alex Gordon with two more hits last night. And Dozier 2-for-4 with two RBIs, as you heard the home run. And the Royals will try to get it done today in game two of that series down in Houston. It'll be Danny Duffy, his third start of the year. His last start was really good. One run, six strikeouts in six innings. And if he could pitch the way he pitched there for, what, a few months, a few years ago? That's what the Royals need, is a bona fide ace. I was thinking about the Royals last night, and, you know, they starting pitching, I think a lot of people said they're going to be okay starting pitching, which, yeah, maybe. It's been up and down a little bit. Starting pitching hasn't been their biggest problem. In spurts, it said they've had issues with it. The bullpen, of course, was really bad early in the year. Now, the bullpen, for the most part, the last few weeks, has actually stabilized. And then the offense, like, scores 15, then they score two. So they're up and down a little bit, too. But there's what starter on the staff do you sit here and go, there's a guy that can give me seven innings? I'm not talking eight or nine innings. I'm talking, there's my guy to get me seven innings. That should be your number one starter. And that's Brad Keller. And I think he's only gotten the seventh maybe once this year.
Well, let me tell you how fun of a story it was that Brad Keller was the opening day starter. But when you have a guy that was a Rule 5 draft pick the year before that's your opening day starter the next year,
that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign for your rotation as a whole.
No.
You know, Brad Keller's solid, but, yeah, he's not an ace.
No.
That's very clear. And, yeah, he's not a guy that gets you – he's not the guy that's going to get you to seven. None of these guys are.
Danny Duffy's the only guy really can, but yet he's and there's times where when he really was pitching great a couple years ago, I mean, he was like Cy Young good. He was pitch efficient. And yeah. The Royals, Jacob Junis is not pitch efficient. Ian Kennedy, of course, never been pitch efficient. Now he's in the bullpen. The Royals, and then you have to go to the bullpen. It's like every single game the bullpen has to throw at least three innings. And I know that's kind of the way baseball's going. I get it. That you don't have guys, oh, get 100 pitches, let's get all scared, and we better not let them pitch over 100 pitches. And back in the day, guys would throw 120 every start. It was no big deal. And I understand more money involved. You have more invested in those pitchers. You don't want to mess up their arms. I get all that. But you just, you know, to me, when you look at the best teams in baseball, they've got an ace. I mean, the Astros have Verlander. They have Gerrit Cole. You look at the Braves, they have Blake Snell, although he hasn't been great this year. He was a Cy Young Award winner last year. You know, Dodgers have Kershaw. Nationals have Scherzer. You know, the Cardinals, I can't think of their great starter. The Cubs have Cole Hamels, right? He's off to a great start, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Because he's bounced around. The Cubs have some good starting pitching. The best, you know, the Red Sox, Chris Sale. There you go. The Yankees.
DeGrom for the Mets.
Jacob DeGrom for the Mets, even though they're not good with him. But he's a great pitcher.
So they got at least one.
They at least got one. And, you know, Syndergaard was great the other day. They got a couple guys that are capable of being aces. Power arms, bona fide aces. The Royals really don't have that. And there's another team I was trying to think of that has a really good ace that I'm going, well, the Yankees, when Severino was healthy, which he's on the DL right now, he was their ace last year. But the teams that have aces, you know, they certainly take a, what they do is they eat innings. Even when they don't pitch great, they still can give you seven and a third. That helps rest your bullpen and sets them up for the rest of a series. And the Royals don't have that. So thus, everybody blames the bullpen all the time when they don't realize the bullpen's actually been a lot better the last couple of weeks. And, well, you know, eventually they kind of can wear down.
Oh, without question.
You know?
It's the same as starters. I mean, you don't want them to be pitching any more than they need to either.
Sure.
So, and then you're running into guys that get overused because a manager feels like he can take it more than the next guy and can be, but you still don't want to send him out there as much as you are. It's not, I can't find the good in having four pitchers that can't even get through six innings, let alone seven.
Well, Lopez is like Kennedy last year, last couple of years. Third time through the lineup, he has problems. Yeah. Junis is the same way. Duffy just got back in rotation. He's the guy that's capable. He showed he can do it. And Keller is kind of a six-inning guy, it seems like. Maybe he can eventually be a guy get through you seven. Every once in a while he can. And, of course, your fifth starter is just going to be a Glenn Sparkman or whoever it may be. And that's not a guy that's going to go deep in the games. No. Your fifth starters rarely do. So Royals and Astros game two tonight. Duffy against McHugh, 7-10 from Houston. The NBA playoffs continuing last night. It was the Bucks knocking off the Celtics. Boy, the Celtics won game one, and all of a sudden it was like, well, the Celtics are going to NBA Finals. I have to admit, I've been on the Celtics wagon before they beat the Bucks in game one. The Bucks are proving it wrong, and one of the reasons, the guy that could very well be the MVP of the league, playing like MVP last night, Giannis, the freak, Greek the freak, 39 points, 17 in the fourth quarter. Bucks beat the Celtics 113-101. They go up 3-1 in the best of seven and go back to Milwaukee with a chance to close it out.
Giannis spinning in to the basket, slam it! Wow, what a quick spin move by Giannis, and the Bucks lead by 12 again. 32 for Giannis.
Also 16 rebounds for Giannis. Kyrie Irving, who's supposed to be the star for Boston, has struggled in this series, and when your star struggles in a playoff series, go see Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook, you're not going to win. I don't care if it's a first round, second round, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals. If your star players don't play well, unless you're the Warriors, where you have, you know, four stars and one guy's off, it's no big deal. Speaking of the Warriors, last night, the Rockets trying to even the series with the Warriors at 2-2 in Houston.
Durant throws it up. At the buzzer, a three, an air ball, and that'll do it. The Rockets did not do much, if anything, offensively in the final 9 minutes of the fourth quarter, but they had built themselves up enough of a cushion to survive game four, and they win it 112-108, and it's now tied at 2 games apiece with game five set to take place in Oakland on Wednesday night.
James Harden, 38 points, 10 rebounds. Kevin Durant, 34 points. Durant had a wide open look, a great look for three to tie it, just missed it. Curry had a really good look on offensive rebound for three, missed it. And so the Rockets escape. As you could tell, they were struggling there towards the end offensively, but they had enough in the tank to get it done. So that series is now very interesting. 2-2. Going back to Oakland tomorrow night, pivotal game five, which I think most people would expect the Warriors to win. But we saw the Warriors lose to the Clippers twice in the first round of the playoffs. But I think the Warriors are a little bit more focused and ready to go when it comes to playing the Houston Rockets. And I think they also know if we lose game five, that could be the end of our dynasty right there.
Yeah.
Go back to Houston game six.
Yeah, I think they'll probably be ready to go in Oakland. I think that's an understatement. Yeah, you got to be ready. And Houston's, man, they're playing well at times. And I think they're giving Golden State a better series than I thought they might.
Well, we said all year long that the Rockets are the biggest threat to the Warriors.
Yeah,
and then after losing the first two games, and then the Warriors had a chance in game three, it looked like maybe the Warriors weren't up to the task, but they have righted the ship. And the series is even. The home team has won every game in that series. NBA playoffs tonight, the Sixers and the Raptors. That series tied 2-2. Pivotal game five in Toronto. Kawhi Leonard has been off the charts awesome for Toronto in the playoffs. And even if he would leave after this year, if the Raptors can make it to the NBA Finals or win the championship, it's worth it for 1 year of Kawhi Leonard. No question. Because they just couldn't get over the hump in the past. Portland's at Denver tonight. That's going to be an interesting game because the Nuggets, big, huge win in game four over Portland. That series has been very entertaining. I'll be honest. I think the Trailblazer-Nugget series has been the most entertaining series so far of this round. Everybody thought it'd be Rockets-Warriors.
It helps when you have a four overtime game,
sure.
That's for sure.
But every game's been very tight.
I agree.
Got guards that can make plays, and Jokic is just a horse inside, and he can shoot the three. They're fun to watch. The Nuggets-Trailblazers, two younger teams, they're really, really fun to watch. They'll go at it again tonight in Game 5 out in Denver. Pretty good time to be out in Denver. You had the Nuggets and then the Avs last night. Now the Nuggets tonight. That Pepsi Center is getting a workout.
Oh, yeah. The staff is probably looking for a raise right now.
Going from ice.
Do you get bonus pay during the playoffs or no?
Yeah, I would hope they maybe get a playoff percentage share or something since they work with the organization. I don't know, but it's okay to live in Denver right now. If you love hockey and you love NBA basketball, you've got the best of both worlds at the moment.